Welcome, welcome, welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves. I am still joined by my tag team partner, as I am each and every week, the Fighting Irishman himself, Kevin Patrick. KP, it's been a rough one. It's been a rough week within the WWE universe. How are you holding up?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, bud. It's been a rough week for everybody, all the viewers around the world that have been with WWE since the beginning. And then a rough one for our friends and colleagues, you know, that knew Terry Funk really well and certainly knew Bray Wyatt so well throughout. So, you know, look, credit to everybody for getting through Friday and Monday, because it's been an emotional place to be.
No doubt about it. Emotions have been running extremely high since the entire world was shocked last week. We're going to do our best here on ATB to lift your spirits, help you through this. I just want to take a few moments to pay some respects. Obviously, I want to start with the great Terry Funk. I actually had a moment, KP, after we got off the air Friday night at SmackDown, which I want to talk about in depth in a few minutes. I got to run into Paul Heyman, and I was able to thank Paul Heyman because it was because of Paul that I got to know and understand the greatness that was Terry Funk. Terry Funk's heyday was obviously many, many years ago, despite the fact he had a 50-year active career, which is unheard of. But for my generation, in my age range, ECW was sort of a rebirth for Terry Funk. It introduced the Funker to a whole new generation of fans who may not have been familiar with his epic rivalries with Ric Flair and matches with the Great Muda and the territory days. I mean, Terry Funk has truly done it all. I think he's been in the ring with literally everybody of all time. He was that accomplished and had such a career. So it was definitely heartbreaking for the business as a whole. As you mentioned, Terry Funk, highly respected by everyone who's ever encountered him. I didn't know Terry very well. I had the opportunity to meet him a few times, and he was always, as advertised, just as friendly and happy and really lit the room up. And it's very odd that you hear about someone in any walk of life who is simultaneously revered as being one of the toughest people ever in that business, yet also simultaneously being one of the most well-liked. And I, to this day, don't know anyone who's ever said a poor word about Terry Funk without at least being quick enough to give him his flowers that we lost one of the all-time greats.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
That in and of itself, very sad, very tragic, but not necessarily totally unexpected or out of left field. Terry was getting up there in the years. He's had some health problems over the years. So while that in and of itself was extremely tragic, Thursday evening, we all received the horrible news that we lost Bray Wyatt, our friend Wyndham Rotunda, and as anyone who watched Friday Night SmackDown could see, the outpouring of support and emotion from the locker room, from everybody backstage, from the very top of the mountain on down. And I'm not speaking out of school saying that everybody, you were in the same production meeting I was. People were wearing their emotions on their sleeve. There were tears choked back before the show ever began. I walked into the arena and I saw Berkeley Ottman, who is our bell ringer, our timekeeper, who I met back in the days of FCW. There's a whole generation of us who populate WWE now who all sort of began at or around the same time in Tampa at FCW, and Berkeley was just a young guy who'd kind of hang around and help out wherever he could. And he scratched and clawed and worked his way into an actual position. And I walked into the arena, into our locker room, and Berkeley was the first person I saw. And he had, you know, tears in his eyes, understandably. And he came up and just gave me a big hug. And thankfully, that would be the recurring theme of the day. And as much controversy as there could have been, not that I really noticed much about going on with the show and having everybody doing their job, performing their roles with such heavy hearts, in hindsight, to me, there's nowhere else I would have rather been than at SmackDown, helping construct this tribute in short order. And kudos to our amazing studio in Stamford to be able to put together the amazing Bray Wyatt video package and everyone who sat in that meeting and discussed the best way to honor the memory of Bray within the constructs of a 2-hour SmackDown show. It was just the outpouring of support and emotion from everybody, being able to see Braun Strowman, being able to see Eric Rowan. The first person I texted once I found out was Seth Rollins, who's going to be our guest here in a little bit. Heavy hearts across the board. We did the best that we could on Friday under those circumstances. I think it was a home run. I think we did a great job honoring the memory of Bray and Terry Funk and trying to help the WWE universe, who all had collectively heavy hearts, sort of just deal with it. I've had a few days to actually speak to my therapist and really sit with this. After SmackDown went off the air, went back to the hotel, walked into the hotel bar and saw a few of our regulars, you know, Michael P.S. Hayes and a few others. And we did one shot, did a shot of Jack in memory. I went back up to my room and full disclosure, I fell apart, man. I really sat with it. Everybody grieves differently. It hit me really hard because I was just looking back and thinking to having Wyndham as such a constant throughout my career in WWE, dating all the way back to the FCW days. And I want to take a minute before I get any further to send my condolences to Mike Rotunda and his wife, Stephanie Taylor Rotunda, who we all know as Bo Dallas, Micah Rotunda, their little sister, who is as close to a little sister that the entire business has. Micah always is just smiling and great to be around. And of course, Bray's wife, Wyndham's wife, JoJo Offerman, who we all know from WWE, was a ring announcer here for a long time. Absolute sweetheart of a human being, their children, the entire family. You're not going to find a tighter knit family within this industry, I think, than the Rotundas. If you knew Wyndham and you knew Taylor, you know Taylor, you knew how close they were with their family. If you knew Mike, when Mike was around as a producer, how highly he spoke of his children and he loved to just brag, and just a beautiful family unit. They all, to my knowledge, live within a very, very short distance of one another in Florida. Almost like a compound. That was a few years back. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure people have shifted and moved. But I think the important thing to take away is while the WWE universe understandably is mourning Bray Wyatt, those of us who were lucky enough to know Wyndham, we're mourning the loss of our friend. And to take it back to the FCW days, Wyndham had come up as Husky Harris to WWE for a cup of coffee, got sent back down. A demotion like that can demoralize a superstar. I've seen it happen numerous times over the years. And instead, Wyndham chose to completely recreate himself from the fast-talking Husky Harris, who was more of who Wyndham Rotunda truly was that we knew. He was a country boy. The Rotunda boys were spoken of much like the Duke brothers from the Dukes of Hazzard within the realm of FCW. Oh, those Rotunda boys. They're just fun and lit up a room. And you couldn't.
I'm sure they love that.
Oh yeah, and you can ask anybody who passed through and was lucky enough to share a locker room or perform on these shows or just be at practice, which was a drag a lot of times, you know, and we're in this little warehouse sweating and the opportunity to make it to Raw or SmackDown seemed like such a pipe dream, such an impossibility. And what Wyndham did was really bring a lot of levity to everyone's lives. When you're in this warehouse with no air conditioning, sweating and taking bumps and doing drills and trying to figure out what the hell can I possibly do? Wyndham just made everybody laugh. You need that guy. And simultaneously, Wyndham was creating this persona, this Bray Wyatt character, which transcended WWE and was would go on to be something unlike we've ever seen before in the sports entertainment space. And it's such a fun, interesting dichotomy between who we knew Wyndham Rotunda as versus who the world got to know as Bray Wyatt. And all one amazing mind, one of the most creative, intelligent people I've ever had a chance to sit down and just chat with. And I used to love falling down the rabbit hole with Bray. I remember back in the very early days of the Wyatt family, we would be in some armory somewhere in Florida, and Wyndham would be holding court, and he would go on about these conspiracy theories and these different, some of it was a little much, but he was so invested, and it almost felt like a method actor, where I remember promo day in FCW, Wyndham would disappear. You wouldn't see Wyndham. All of us would be sitting around watching the other promos, et cetera, critiquing one another. And Wyndham was gone. And then Bray would show up and just captivate the room. And I can tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday, the very first time we all saw what would become Bray Wyatt. And he walked out of the room and there was not a word spoken for probably 30 seconds because everybody had to digest what it was that we just saw, because he took the constructs of being a WWE superstar and turned it on its head in a way that I think will be felt for years to come. He sort of opened this door from a creative aspect within our business that had never been opened before. I'm sure people have had ideas. People had these grandiose thoughts and stories they wanted to tell, but he was the first one that was really able to do it and normalize it and show the higher ups and those in charge making decisions. This isn't.
Did you always know he had that in him?
No. When you knew Wyndham, Bray seemed like the farthest departure that could be possible. He was completely unlike the Bray Wyatt character, this sadistic, scary, yet captivating being that you didn't know what to think about. Wyndham, you knew. You wanted to go have beers with Wyndham. You wanted to go ride with Wyndham and wherever Wyndham and Taylor were going after the FCW show, you wanted to be there because it was going to be fun. It was just that atmosphere. And that's what I'm going to miss most. And over the years, of course, time happens and life happens and people leave the company. They come back. Life happens, right?
Kids,
no matter what aspect. WWE is not unique in that sense. I don't care if you work at Target or 911, whatever your career is, you're going to have faces pop in and out of your life. And the one constant with Wyndham, up until the last time I got to see him, which was right after the Royal Rumble match with LA Knight, walked back into Gorilla and he's waiting there with some silly comment and that big grin on his face and his high pitched voice that is not something the world ever got to see. And I feel like we're blessed that we got to know Wyndham, and it doesn't make it any different or any easier for anybody else who loved Bray Wyatt. But I just think it's so important. And I trust in our friends that still populate this business, from Seth to Roman to Bo to whoever it may be, will keep the memory of Wyndham Rotunda and Bray Wyatt alive for years to come. One of the greatest characters we've ever known. One of my favorite people I've ever had a chance to share my life dream with. I've been in the ring with him a million times, loved wrestling Bray. He was a freak of an athlete for a man his size, so explosive, fun to work, fun to be in the ring with. And if you need any more endorsement as to how talented Bray was in the ring, this is a guy who shared the WrestleMania stage with The Undertaker. This is a guy who has been in the ring with Randy Orton. Everybody, a who's who. Bray has worked his way into that echelon and will never, ever be forgotten. Like I said, everyone grieves differently. Everybody grieves at their own pace. If you're listening to this and you're still in your feelings, by all means, sit there. Be in your feelings. Deal with it. However you see fit. This was a rough weekend for me. Full disclosure, it's Wednesday morning. Last night I had NXT on, and when the Wyndham package, the Bray package came up, I wasn't prepared. I was talking to my daughter on FaceTime, and I glanced up and I saw it, and I had to call my daughter back. I hung up, and it all came rushing back. And I think that's good. I think that just goes to show you what a mark he left on this world. And I'm just honored to have been a tiny little part of the journey that was Wyndham.
If you're okay with me saying this, we were in TV Locker and your son called you.
Yeah.
And he had just found out, and he's what, 14?
Yeah, 15, yeah.
15? And he was devastated.
Well, the Fiend was his favorite. The Fiend, to that point, the Fiend was such a captivating character that my son, who's not really a WWE fan, generally speaking, he watches it, he knows it, but that's more like, that's where dad works. He thought the Fiend was the coolest thing that he had ever seen. So much so, I've never told this to anybody. It was Christmas, the day after Christmas, I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I was living downtown in Pittsburgh, and Carmella was on the road. She had to do the holiday tour, and it was myself and my kids, and we listened to Bray Wyatt's Fiend entrance music probably 50 times in a row while we took down the Christmas tree. Because my son just thought it was such an awesome song. The Code Orange guys did a great job with it. He was just so cool, man. I'm smiling now, and this is what I needed. I wanted to share those thoughts. My heart and my memories are happy having known him now. It's not so much a case that I'm sad that we lost him as much as I'm happy that we had him.
You know, I only met him once, Corey, and it was at WrestleMania 2021. And, you know, during that whole time, I mean, we're talking about The Fiend, we're talking about the storyline with Randy Orton and the build-up to that WrestleMania, Alexa Bliss involved as well. And I never saw Wyndham ever until I walked into the locker room, and I was scared. I was brand new. I was only with the company a few weeks. And that was the WrestleMania when we were thrown on air early.
Oh, yes.
And I saw Wyndham, and he's sitting there, and I was washing my hands in the bathroom, and he was the closest seat to the bathroom. And I said, "Hey, I just wanted to say hi. I'm Kevin. I'm here." And he goes, "Yeah, welcome, man." And he had the biggest smile on his face. And I just thought, that's a lovely way to welcome someone that I don't know him. He certainly does not know me. And yet, big friendly handshake and a big welcome. And that's the only interaction I ever had. But I do know that every time I saw the guy around WWE backstage, the biggest smile on his face, and you said it, that laugh was infectious. It was a beautiful laugh that brought everybody in. And I know as a dad, my heart's broken for the family, for JoJo and the kids and everybody. And I met Mike at the 30-year anniversary of Monday Night Raw back in January.
Yeah.
And he seemed just the nicest man, so proud of his kids. So love and thoughts and strength to everybody here.
No doubt about it. Fiend, Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda will live on forever. Rest in power, my friend. We will see you on the other side. But KP, as tough as this week has been within the halls of WWE, it was not without some bright spots. There's a lot of goodness happening. Again, we took this detour, this unexpected tragedy, but we've got to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off. We are full steam ahead toward Pittsburgh this coming Saturday. Payback, the premium live event, streaming live, WWE on Peacock. The last few stops on the road saw Monday night, Zoe Stark and the man, Becky Lynch, in a Falls Count Anywhere match. As Becky prepares to step inside of a steel cage this Saturday with Trish Stratus. In the Steel City, Steel Cage, Steel City. I love everything about it. This was a wild one.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a main event to Monday Night Raw. And KP, before I don't even want to break it down too deeply right now. You know where I'm going. I can see the smirk beginning to form on your face. I'm not going to lie to you. From Thursday night through Monday afternoon, through the first probably 2.5 hours of Monday Night Raw, you weren't going to find anything really resembling a smile on the face of old CG. But when Trish Stratus threw the chair in the ring and hit Zoe Stark directly in the forehead, it was the most absurd, unintentionally hilarious moment in a long, long time. So for that, I say, thank you, Trish. Thank you, Trish, for accidentally providing a little bit of levity that the entire WWE universe needed badly. Credit to Zoe Stark for realizing what had happened, shaking it off, and going about her business. That was up there with Titus World Slide to me.
Big time.
I have not laughed like that in a long time. It was cathartic. It was much needed. It was at the right time. So yes, while of course the internet had a field day with it,
have fun with it.
Let's laugh about the reality of the situation. That was a 1 in a million chance of happening. And it happened, and she pinged the leg of that chair. I felt so bad for Zoe, who had never stopped holding her forehead the entire match. It was absolutely insane, but it provided some much needed entertainment in my life. What about you?
Live TV, baby. Live TV. I tell you what, I don't know how you guys do it. And I say you guys, talking about you, Corey Graves, the superstar, because when you look at what Trish, Becky and Zoe put their bodies through, and then now Becky heading into a steel cage, two, again, you said diametrically opposed earlier. You go from going anywhere with false count anywhere to locking yourselves inside a steel cage. It's going to end here, I think. It's Becky Lynch, the man, the arguably the best of the current generation versus arguably the best of the generation past. And yeah. Trish Stratus has certainly still got it. And I'm looking forward to this one. I'm looking forward in the best way possible. I'm looking forward to the conclusion of this one because it's what I know both superstars want, to be locked inside that cage and just have at each other.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting for sure. Hopefully it is the final chapter in that rivalry. Both women have big things on the horizon. But looking across the landscape, KP, I want to talk about NXT that I watched last night as we record this. The Fatal 4-Way main event to crown the number one contender for Tiffany Stratton's NXT championship. And man, kudos to those women. All four of those women put on an absolute banger of a Fatal 4-Way, which is very difficult to do. But it told a great story. It was exciting. It was action-packed. And I couldn't help but think, as I was watching it next to my wife, the opportunity right now for the women's division in NXT, Raw, SmackDown, all across the board is ripe for the picking.
Okay.
Because you have your staples, right? And a lot of them are missing right now. Obviously, I'm going to mention Carmella because she's my wife. Alexa Bliss. Charlotte Flair is not currently in the equation. Bianca Belair is out for the time being. There are so much opportunity right now for someone to be the next big thing, to step up, to force the hand, and to really establish themselves independently of needing a match with a Charlotte Flair or a Becky Lynch or a Bayley, where they have the chance to prove that they are the next crop. We always talk and rely on the four horsewomen because they were arguably the four biggest stars that came out of that developmental group, that time period. The time is right not for another generation to come. And I'm not saying to push the staples out. I'm not by any means implying
that, of course,
they're old news. I'm just saying they've been carrying the flag for so long. I guarantee you Charlotte, Bayley, Becky are sitting here going, I'd like to mix it up with her. Oh, she caught my eye. We saw a little interaction on Twitter between Becky Lynch and Tiffany Stratton. As a fan, if that doesn't excite you, the hell's wrong with you, right? You need...
Yeah. So who stood out in the match? Why did the match stand out to you?
I thought it was a brilliant match. For a Fatal 4-Way matchup to be put in a main event spot with stakes as high as they were, I just thought all four women over-delivered. And I'm not analyzing this. I'm not going to break it down. I'm not going to say, oh, well, this particular little thing happened that really caught my attention, because there were many of those. The way I watch our business is very different than the way most fans watch our business. So it's not going to do anybody any real good for me to speak about what it was in particular. It was just the overall package. And I just thought to myself, this is exciting. You've got four women right now who are on the cusp of potentially being NXT Women's Champion. But you know Tiffany Stratton doesn't want to give that up. You know Tiffany Stratton at the same time would love to be on Raw or SmackDown, as would everybody. And if you're not of that mindset, you're in the wrong place. If you're in the Performance Center and you have a great gig, and now, I mean, you can make a decent bit of money while you're learning our trade. But if you don't have that fire inside to change the business, to make your mark, to change the things that you don't like about our game, or things that you think you can make better, a la a Seth freaking Rollins, who we're going to talk to in a matter of minutes, you're in the wrong spot. Now is the time for all of these women to be looking at the proverbial brass ring, whether it's a Kiana James or a Blair Davenport or Roxanne Perez, to be able to say, you know what? No, now is my time. I'm going to show the world that I am undeniable, to borrow a phrase from Cody, and that I should be in the discussion for the next wave of female superstars in WWE. Someone's got to step up and challenge Rhea if Raquel doesn't get the job done.
This was my question. What do you, Corey Graves, if you're a coach heading into this Saturday in Pittsburgh, what do you want to see from Raquel Rodriguez?
Raquel Rodriguez needs to have the match of her life. We've seen Rhea and Raquel mix it up in NXT in the past, many moons ago, Our buddy John Crux spoke very highly of it, one of his favorite matches.
Mm-hmm.
The potential is all there. The talent is there. I don't know if the WWE Universe is as behind Raquel as she would like them to be yet. So I think it goes one of two ways. Either Raquel shows up and beats Rhea Ripley, which seems impossible, but it's not. Trust me, if you've watched Raquel and you know the physical tools she possesses, it could happen. At worst, I think Raquel shows up, pushes Rhea to the absolute limit and beyond, and it's a coming out party of sorts for Raquel Rodriguez, where the WWE Universe, who may have not been paying attention for one reason or another, is going to be talking about Raquel after Saturday. I think that's what she has to realize is at stake in this matchup, because she could be champion or at worst in a much better, stronger position than she's been to this point in her career. And we've got a lot more payback to talk about, KP, particularly the enigmatic assassin himself, Shinsuke Nakamura, who will be challenging our guest at this time. He is the world heavyweight champion. He is Seth freaking Rollins. Seth, first things first, welcome back to ATB. We appreciate the time as always.
Thank you guys for having me. It's good to see your beautiful faces one more time.
Always, always. We got a big, big matchup coming up this coming Saturday, defending your World Heavyweight Championship at Payback. We'll get to that in a second. Obviously, you and I and everybody in the WWE family, KP included, top of mind right now, the loss of our good friend and brother, Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda. I know he meant a lot to you. There was some footage floating around the internet of your first match back after what we all went through together on Thursday. And I just didn't know if you had any thoughts or anything you wanted to share or reflect on. We talked at great length a few minutes ago about the FCW days and what a joy Wyndham was and how he always lit up any room he walked into.
Yeah. I mean, I can only second or third or millionth, billionth that sentiment. I mean, he was the life of any room he was in. I mean, it didn't matter what was going on, how you were feeling the minute you saw him. Didn't matter how long it had been in between visits with Wyndham, anything like that. Like the moment you saw him, there was a handshake or a little finger shake sometimes, or whatever it was that you had with him. And it was always followed with a warm embrace, a laugh and a smile and just this joy, you know, that was the first thing that came to my mind was joy. He was just always full of joy. And that's not to say Wyndham wasn't a super thoughtful dude, because he was deep and he was complex, but he was a simple guy at heart. He didn't take a lot to pop him, you know. No. Didn't take a lot to make him a happy man. He was a tremendous conversation. He was just the best dad, a great friend. I mean, I'm still really just trying to wrap my head around the whole thing. It's hard. You know, the weekend was really nice for me. I'll get that one out of the gate. It was very much a therapeutic experience. I wasn't there on Friday for SmackDown. And so Saturday in Cape Girardeau at our live event was like my Friday, you know.
Yeah.
Being around other people who are going through the same feeling of loss and having them to hold and to talk to and to remember and all those things. And then being out there in front of the audience and, you know, I did a couple of his things and it felt like I felt the spirit of him, you know, and that was really nice. And it stinks that it takes tragedy to get us to see sometimes how special what we have in this wrestling bubble is, but here we are. And that's like the one positive that I'm taking out of it is just how much I do cherish everybody, from our audience to all the boys and girls in the back, anybody who's ever made anything that we get to do possible in any small way, and to these people that we share our lives with every single week in some capacity. You know, I there's just so much gratitude that I have for that. And I felt all of that this past weekend. And it was really special all the way through Monday. it's just been a whirlwind. Still trying to wrap my head around it, but yeah, man, I love him. As I know you know, we spent a lot of time with him. We'll miss him. We'll miss that. I can't believe he's gone. I really can't.
Beautifully said. It's going to take a while to wrap our heads around, but I completely agree. I said to Kevin something very similar about how as heavy as everyone's heart was on Friday, there's nowhere else I would have rather been than at TV in that moment to be there with Braun and Rowan and all of the brothers that came up through FCW with us. It really, I think, helped us all, and we helped each other. It was a mutual experience, and there will never be another, man. Never be another Wyndham Rotunda, man. God bless that man.
Not even close. The guy was special. Special in a million ways. We're lucky to have known him.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey Seth, quick one on just the creativity of Wyndham and Bray Wyatt and you watching his journey throughout. How special was the creativity that we all witnessed?
Yeah, you know, the thing that creativity is one thing, but the resilience, you got to remember, like, Wyndham was like this close to getting fired.
Right.
He was this close to just being gone. He had come up, done NXT. He had done the Husky Harris thing. He'd gotten removed from the NXT kind of takeover thing, the Nexus stuff that happened on television, and he got sent back down to developmental, and like he just totally revamped himself, like took a shot, and it wasn't immediate. You know, he tried a lot of different things. He had a lot of different ideas floating around in his head, and to be there kind of on the ground floor and see that process and see what eventually turned into Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. I mean, that is a lesson I'll keep it in the wrestling bubble, but that's a lesson to all young talent or talent who are trying to find their footing in our industry. Like, don't let setbacks force you to feel like you failed or that you need to give up or give in or any of that. You can be successful. You just have to figure yourself out. You know, you've got to figure out who you are, what your character is, how you want, like, you can do all these things. You just have to believe, and you have to work, and you have to process, and it takes time, and that's okay. And, you know, I know Wyndham was frustrated during that period of time, but he just let his creative juices flow. And he had, you know, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes there, and he had his friends and his brothers and his people, and everybody was rooting for him. And I remember the first time, like, hearing the Bray Wyatt kind of voice, because don't get me wrong, that's a lot of Wyndham, but you know that little twang. I remember the first time I heard him talk like that. It's giving me goosebumps right now.
I just told the story
right now.
The first, same. The hairs on my arms are standing up right now because the first time we as a promo class met Bray Wyatt, man, like, what did we just see?
Yeah, I just it what it turned into, I could have never imagined, you know, that was, right. That was special. But I just remember, I can't remember the time, place. I don't remember the day. I don't remember, you know, we had a million promo classes. I don't remember none of that, but I remember distinctly the first time I heard his voice. And I just, that Bray Wyatt delivery,
that whisper,
you know, that cadence, that whisper changed everything. And then he was off to the races from there. And sometimes that's all it takes. But most important thing it takes is like that diligence, that resilience, and that patience to understand that it's just not going to happen overnight, you know? And when your back's against the wall, like, you fight, man, keep fighting. And he did. And he was special in that way. And he was remarkable in his creativity. And what he brought to, you know, Harper, Brody and Rowan, and what he gave them, and Braun, as well. You know, he contributed a lot to a lot of people who looked up to him. And so he was a special cat, man, really, really was. And you're dead on. I mean, creativity is second to none. Character work and effort that he put into that character and what the vision for Bray Wyatt was, you know, second to none. And hell, while we're on it, I mean, look, The Fiend and Bray Wyatt, the two versions of Bray Wyatt that you saw on WWE television were, you know, two completely different brainchilds for him.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
And so, and even in his final incarnation, the third version, I mean, he was always figuring out new ways to reinvent himself. And he and I were very similar in that kind, in that we're always thinking what's next, how do we transform, how do we transcend what we've already done. And gosh, I was always in awe of how he was able to come up with these transformations that made sense in the depth of his character. You know, if you look at the trajectory of everything that he did, it all flowed together in like this perfect river. But they were all so different from each other. And that's a hard thing to do. And he did it better than anybody.
I would say he changed the ability and what it means to be a character within the halls, within the constraints of WWE. When's the last time? I mean, you look at Mick Foley, had three different characters, but they weren't nearly as fleshed out or deep or compelling on an individual level as everything Bray seemed to create. It was just absolute magic.
Yeah. In a million ways, that guy was a throwback to an older day. You know, he really was. As a person, he was. And as a performer, you look at the reality with which we approach wrestling nowadays, with the way we approach our characters. There's always some like kind of root in reality, and it's hard to take the characters to different places, a la The Undertaker. Early days of The Undertaker. And to be able to suspend your audience's disbelief and captivate them the way the Bray Wyatt characters did was unbelievable, to a point where I personally didn't know if it was possible. You know, I didn't know if it was going to work because it was so far removed. But to be able to have confidence in himself and take that risk in front of our audience and really, really just put yourself out there and say, you know what, I'm going all in. I'm going to commit 1000% and it's going to be awesome. And like to have that confidence and that ability to just throw it all in, put all your chips on the table. You know, I mean, man, what a risk taker, what an innovator. There's just no way. There's not enough superlatives for Wyndham Rotunda.
I agree, man. There's nothing left that hasn't been said, and it can go on all day about the guy. I mean, it, absolutely incredible. But you keep mentioning having your back against the wall, and this is my ham-fisted attempt at a transition to change the subject on things. But you talk about having that mentality, your back against the wall, keep fighting. Kevin and I were discussing right now how, across the board, I'm going to ask you about the women's division, because obviously I know you're a fan. You watch everything. You keep your finger on the pulse of everything. Right now, to me, with the exception of your wife, a lot of the first generation are not active right now. The women who forced the evolution, you know, Charlotte's away right now. Bianca's away right now. Bayley is still doing her thing. Dakota's hurt. Carmella's gone. Bliss is gone, currently speaking. And I said that it feels to me like the time is right for someone else to step up and grab that brass ring, so to speak, to force the change and be the next generation, the next wave, much like your generation, our generation of yourself, The Shield, Roman, Bray, all kind of made it to the top of the card. But you need the rest of the card. You need those next superstars to step in the ring with, that next generation. I know that's something that's always been very important to you, is the changing the business for the better. When you look across the women's landscape, would you agree with that assessment, that the time is right for some new people to step up?
I would say 100%. There are a lot of there's a lot of space to fill there right now. On Raw, on SmackDown, I think absolutely there is a void. And what I sense more than anything is this kind of bubbling little undercurrent from our audience. Like they want something fresh and new, and they want to have people to get behind. They want it, you know. And I'm not saying these people are coming from NXT. You never know. It might be somebody that steps up at Chelsea Green, at Piper Niven. You never know. There's tons of women capable on our main roster at the moment, but there is like this, I'm feeling it. It's very much like this, we want something more out of the women, and we know it's there and we can't wait to see it, but there's like a growing intrigue. There's a growing desire to see it. And I think, you know, this past Monday, Zoe Stark, was in the ring with my wife, Becky, and they absolutely wrecked the main event
down
of Monday Night Raw. Absolutely wrecked it, dude. And that was Zoe's first main event. First main event on Raw. And I told her afterwards, I said, first of many. It's going to be a huge thing. She's one of them that has the opportunity to really lead this next generation of women into the future. And I just think that it's there, man. It feels like they're on the cusp of a breakthrough. I felt like Monday was a huge reminder of what they're capable of. They haven't, and I'm going to be frank with you, they haven't been showcased as well as they could have been over the past, you know, 6 months or so. They haven't been.
I would agree with that.
Aside from a few exceptions, and I don't need to, you know, pick and choose and name names. And sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles. And that's part of the industry. It's part of the business. You know, I've been in situations where absolutely I feel like I've not been showcased or male talent the same way. It has nothing to do, in my opinion, with gender at all. It's just it's a kind of commentary on where we're at right now. And more to what you said, there are opportunities. And I think Monday was a reminder of how incredible our female talent roster is and can be when given the opportunity to main event, to succeed and to be the best. And so I'm with you, man. I think it's all there. I just can't wait to see who steps up and fills that space and grabs that ring, as you said.
You're talking about the business there a lot, Seth. How healthy is the business in your eyes right now? I'd love to get the thoughts of Seth freaking Rollins on.
Bro, we are in the boom, man. You got to understand, there is another company that just put 80,000 people in a stadium for one night. A week before that, we sold 90,000 tickets to WrestleMania, broke the all-time gate on the first day. There are 7-8 different television programs of professional wrestling on a week, not counting premium live events or pay-per-views. I mean, the talent roster across the board is beyond what any generation has ever put forward. And it's very easy to look back at the past with rose-colored glasses and say, oh, but this, but that. And I'm not taking anything away from the guys who paved the way. I stand on the shoulders of these guys. I don't do what I do. I can't do without the legends of our industry that have, you know, defined their own generations. But they should be proud, and I know they are, because they are the people who got us to where we are now. The business is bigger than it's ever been. It makes more money than it's ever made. It's healthier. The future of the business is so bright, and I'm so happy to be a part of it in any capacity. I can't tell you the pride I take when I see young cats coming up and succeeding in our industry and helping push the thing forward, or guys getting an opportunity to prove their worth, and they do because they're capable. And then seeing guys like, you know, Edge, who is, you know, close to deciding to hang it up one way or the other, still go out there and absolutely tear the house down with Sheamus in Toronto. Like, just on every level, it's just firing, man. It's just firing. And so I can't say enough about our industry right now. I'm so proud of it. It's healthier physically than it's ever been. The longevity for our generation is going to be better than the generation before us because, you know, we learned and we got smarter. And the business as a whole, the money, it's all there. It's I can't say enough. I really can't.
I completely agree with every sentiment you just shared with us. As the guy who is a flag bearer for WWE, now as the World Heavyweight Champion, you made it very public that your mission was to elevate this new championship, to have it viewed in the same light as Roman's championship, to have a workhorse title that you could be proud of week after week after week. And hats off to you. Congratulations. You've done that. You have delivered on your promises. But now that you've had a few months to sit in it, to be in it, is there a lot more work to be done? How do you assess what you've done thus far and what's the next step?
Yeah, there's the work never ends, man. I will say this. I feel like we've done a really good job as far as the World Heavyweight Championship is concerned. I'm really proud of the work that we've put in, and the title is on its way to feeling special. And the big thing about that, and the one thing that I think kind of doesn't get talked about or flies under the radar a little bit, and I don't mean this as a knock on Roman's schedule of choice or anything like that, but the actual visibility of the championships. And I mean, physically seeing the title in person, on graphics, on TV every week, you see it at the live events, you see it on social media, photographed. It almost feels like, and I don't mean this negatively, it almost feels like Roman Reigns is the championship as opposed to Roman Reigns is the champion. Whereas Seth Rollins is wearing the World Heavyweight Championship. I am representing the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, when Roman's on TV, he's special. When he's appearing at live events, he's special. But it's almost like it's Roman Reigns, not necessarily.
Like it's something different. Know. Like it's not necessarily even part of the same show. Yeah. It's just this sidebar.
It's not even. Yeah, and it's not even like Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion. You know, that's like it's just like this. It's almost the secondary part of how big he is, and that's a testament to how incredible, you know, his run and his rise to kind of this mega star. Has become this mega, you know, cult of personality that he's got going on. It's really been impressive. But on our side, we're hustling, man. It's in Cape Girardeau. It's in Huntsville, Alabama. It's in Memphis, Tennessee. And this Saturday, it's going to be in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be defended against Shinsuke Nakamura, a guy that everybody had written off a month ago, you know, 2 months ago. And now, you know, if you get on Twitter, you got tons of people saying it's Shin's time to take the title from me. So I think we're doing something right here, man. I think good things are happening, and I think the World Heavyweight Championship is a huge part of that.
As someone who has been in the ring with Shinsuke Nakamura, speaking to yourself, and someone who is a fan of Nakamura, does it give you any sort of pause that we're finally seeing the Shinsuke Nakamura that we all thought we were going to get long ago? The sort of New Japan throwback, that sadistic, evil, scary, bizarrely charismatic Nakamura. You brought that out of him. That's who you're stepping into the ring with Saturday. Does it give you any pause?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a dangerous cat, dude. I mean, you look at his catalog, it's second to none. You know, he's one of the greatest in-ring performers there is. In many ways, I'm thrilled that our audience is finally getting to see the version of Shinsuke Nakamura that, you know, you and I fell in love with many years ago. And so I'm excited for him to be able to get himself to a place where clearly his confidence is rocking. You can yes. see it. You can feel it. There's an electricity every single time he's out there, often at my expense, but even the pre-tape packages have been something to behold, and you can see it, man. He's just a special dude. He's vibing. He's feeling himself. The only issue for him is that I am also vibing and also feeling myself. And so we're two dudes kind of at the top of our game. Like, it's going to be special, man. A few years ago, some people might have called this a dream match. I think now more than ever, it's a dream match. And the fact that we've got the World Heavyweight Championship on the line on a major premium live event, like, that's only going to add to it. It's really going to be a special night for both of us, I think.
But how bad is your back, Seth? Is Shinsuke onto something here?
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. You know, my back sucks. I've had these injuries for 4 or 5 years now. I've two stress fractures in my low, like the lowest vertebrae you can possibly have in my low back. And occasionally they flare up. And if they accrue too much damage, it can become extremely painful and it can be very difficult for me to get through matches. And it can be very difficult for me to get up for, you know, the morning activities for days sometimes. So there is absolutely a danger in that. And if he does take specific target to that body part, there's a possibility that it will debilitate me for the match and for some time after that. There's no question about it. But on the other side of that, I've had this injury for a long time. I know how to manage it. I'm smarter than I've ever been in the ring, you know? And so I'm able to take the punishment. I've trained my body to take the punishment. I know how to work around it. And so that's going to be my intent as he's going to intend to target it. I won the World Heavyweight Championship with these injuries. I beat AJ Styles with these injuries, Finn Balor with these injuries. I see no reason why I won't be able to do the same thing with Shinsuke Nakamura, regardless of him targeting my back injuries or not. It's going to be very interesting. This is kind of the first time that I've had someone really come at this injury. And so that does make me a little nervous. I'm not going to lie, but I feel very confident that I'll be able to kind of handle it and push through.
Let's say that you do succeed at Payback. You do emerge victorious as World Heavyweight Champion yet again. What's the next step? Do you think that far ahead, or are you still on that very week to week, let's just take life as it comes sort of mentality?
I mean, I'm along for the ride, man. I'm flowing. I look at the Raw roster and I just see tons of guys that I would love to get in the ring with, from Tommaso Ciampa to Chad Gable to the Ring General, all of them. I mean, there's a, you know, I'd love to get in there with Sammy and Kevin. I'd love to get in there with Bronson Reed. I mean, gosh, there's just Drew McIntyre. You know, there's tons of guys out there that I think would make absolute great challengers for the World Heavyweight Championship. So I'm always wondering, like, I just watching to see who's gonna raise their stock to the point where it makes sense to get them in the ring with myself, and they're going to be a formidable enough fight for me that it's going to be a task to defend that title. And I think they're all there physically, mentally, character wise, who's going to be able to get themselves there. And then I'm always looking at WrestleMania, man. I'm looking at the biggest box office you can get. I'm looking at the main event in Philadelphia next year. That's what I want. I'm always going to be looking at that. And whether that's Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, whether that's Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins, I mean, who knows? There's anybody on the outside wants to come in, take a shot. Whatever's going to put me on the marquee in the main shot spot at WrestleMania, my eyes are always there for that.
I almost asked you to call your shot, and instead you just came out here with a machine gun and just took everything out. I'll take anybody on.
I want them all, man. I want them all. I want the whole business. I want you all coming at me. I want everybody. That's what I love. That's when everybody gets better. Iron sharpens iron, and there is a lot of iron out there right now, baby.
I love it. I love it. And there's one other match going down at Payback that I'm sure you have a vested interest in. I'm sure I know your opinion on how this thing plays out, but your wife, Becky Lynch, stepping into a steel cage with WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus. How does this one end? Give us a spoiler.
Well, you know, you can win by escaping the cage. I got a real good feeling Becky's not interested in getting out of that cage for even 2 seconds. I remember back to, Bret the Hitman Hart versus Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania, yep, many, many, many moons ago. And it was just an obliteration is what it was. The Hitman worked Mr. McMahon all over that ring for far too long. And I fully expect Becky to relish every single second that she's got in that cage with Trish. She's going to tear her apart, and then she's going to pin her in the center of the ring and finally be done with Trish Stratus and hopefully Zoe Stark as well. I know she has waited a long time to get her hands just on Trish. by herself, alone, no Money in the Bank match, no Zoe Stark hanging around, just Trish, just Becky. Going to be a steel cage. It's what steel cage matches were made for. It's what
to settle the score.
Yeah.
Out of necessity, not because you want it, because you need it.
You need it. Absolutely. And this rivalry necessitates a steel cage. These girls are going to get it. Trish always said she wanted to have a cage match. Well, be careful what you wish for.
Did you by any chance laugh nearly as hard as I did on Monday night when Trish fired the steel chair and hit Zoe?
Oh my God, dude, I wish you could have seen me in Gorilla. I was sitting in Gorilla watching it. We were all sitting in there and I'm sitting against a chair on the other side of the room. I lost my mind, dude. I lost my mind. I came out of my seat. I was like Fred Flintstone tippy toeing around. I had tears coming down my eyes. Then they ran the replays for us in Gorilla during the commercial. And I got to see the nice slow-mo of it just careening off the side of her face. And Zoe just stone-faced, like, what just happened to me? What is going on right now?
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That was the first time I genuinely laughed in 4 days. I was watching that at home, and I was, you know, watching the match, not just kind of doing talking to my wife, doing whatever. And I went, did that just – wait a second. Thank God for DVR, because I rewound it immediately. And I went, yes. And by that point, it hit Twitter.
Oh.
And I put it right up there with Titus World Slide, man. That was one of those
– oh, yeah.
Magical mishaps that could never happen again, but God dang.
Unbelievable. What a moment. Ask your friends in production to send you the replays. They got some real good shots of that. I think if you want another laugh over the weekend or before Friday, get some replays of that bad boy. That's a good one.
All right, Seth, I just want to say thank you again for hanging out with us and sharing your thoughts on everything surrounding the WWE universe. Good luck at Payback. And personally, I'm looking forward to this one. I'm not going to lie. I get to be a fan again. Two of my favorites in the game throwing down for the World Heavyweight Championship in my hometown, in my home arena. I fully expect magic. No pressure, but magic.
Man, I'm used to pressure. I work best under pressure. So I'm excited. Pittsburgh's lovely. Last time we had a premium live event in Pittsburgh, I was the main event as well. Went a little crazy, went a little haywire, but hey, man, that's the way it flows. I'm excited to get back there and do it again. So can't wait to see your city, man. Thank you guys so much for having me. Until next time, boys.
What a chat. Loved it. Cheers, Seth.
Cheers.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the time, man. Make sure you're following Seth at WWE Rollins. Make sure you're following us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me at WWE Graves. You can find KP at Kev_Egan. Listen for free wherever you get your podcast. Just search After the Bell and smash that follow button so you never miss an episode. And full episodes of ATB are available on the official WWE YouTube channel each and every Monday, usually. But if you're listening to this, head over to the YouTube channel right now. It's available Friday. We'll be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, and more WWE After the Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.